Friends, if you have your Bibles with you today, we're going to be in Luke 11, verses 1 through 4. And before you say too much, I want to say this. Yes, I have preached from this passage before. Here. A few weeks ago, before Christmas, I preached from this in part of a series that we called Better Together. And I talked about how we are better together when we show up, when we are present for one another, when we pray for one another. And it was in that sermon that I used this passage of Scripture and where I encourage you to pray every day at 11:02. So, you know, only Methodist preachers only have so many sermons. I haven't run out of them yet. Hope I never do. The truth is every week we go to the Scriptures and new words come. But I asked you to look at that passage as being a church that prays. In this passage today, I want to use it for not only a prayer for the church, to encourage that, but a prayer for you, a prayer that you would have on your hearts and on your minds and how important prayer can be. We're going to talk today about that, and I'd like to give you a little lesson about the importance of prayer, how wonderful it is, and how frustrating it can be sometimes too, right? So let us look at this passage again. This is the story of Jesus praying in a certain place, and when he was finished, his disciples asked for him to teach them how to pray. So it says in Luke 11, 1 through 4, he was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us of our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us, and do not bring us to the time of trial. Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God, for which we can say, thanks be to God. Let's pray together. God, I thank you for this word and these words. I thank you for the opportunity that you have given me to preach this morning, to say a word to your children about what prayer is all about, how wonderful it is and challenging it is sometimes, frustrating even. And I pray, Lord, that you would just speak to us. And Lord, do that through me, if you will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I'd like to start our sermon this morning with a simple question. It's this question. Who taught you how to pray? Who taught you how to pray? Maybe I have to go back a long, long time ago when I was just a little boy. I was one of three children. And back in those days, my sister Emily and I shared a room. Then she moved to another room, and then she stole, do y'all hear me? She stole the best room in the house upstairs while I was at work one day. She stole it from me. I'm not bitter about it. But back in that day, Emily and I shared a room. I had a twin bed on one wall. She had a twin bed on the other wall. And every night, my mom would come and tuck us in. We would get that last glass of water. You know how that goes. And then mom would say, who are we going to pray for tonight? And we'd pray for, we'd mention everyone from our grandparents to the dog, our dog named Happy, right? And then mom says, okay, let's pray that prayer that I taught you. Do you know it? It goes like this. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Back in my day, it went like this. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Amen. That's a scary prayer, isn't it? If I should die before I wake, that's a scary prayer. So someone said, that's a scary prayer. And now when my kids were little, we used to say, Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Angels watch me through the night and wake me with the morning light. That's better, isn't it? Maybe it was your mom or your dad or maybe a grandparent who taught you how to pray. Maybe it was somebody here at the church who taught you to pray. Maybe a Sunday school teacher or a youth leader. Maybe you were paying attention when the preacher preaches and prays on Sunday morning, and you absorbed that prayer and thought, well, that's what it sounds like. That's the things that I include in a prayer. I pray for others. I pray for myself. I pray for the community. Did someone at church teach you how to pray? My first question today is, who taught you how to pray? Here's the second question. Are you happy currently with your prayer life? Do you wish that it was more consistent, choir? Do we wish that it was that we had better results when it came to the things that we prayed for? Author Max Lucado says this about the practices of some of us who pray. He says, some of us pray like Concorde jets, and others of us pray like crop dusters. If you pray like a Concorde jet, well, then you know that your prayers are high and sleek and mighty and powerful. They ring in the heavens and send a sonic boom back to earth. And when someone prays like that, you go, wow, wow, what a prayer. Others of us pray like crop dusters. I lived up in Paragould for 6 years and often made my way from Paragould down to Conway, and I've come across 412 and right around Walnut Ridge, come back this way, and I would see some of those crop dusters. You ever seen a crop duster? They kind of fly real low, and they fertilize the field, or they treat the crop, and they're flying over that same area, and they swing back around. I always say a prayer for them while they're flying those things, and they do cover the same ground over and over again. Sometimes our prayers are more like crop dusters than they are Concorde jets, right? Mine are. I don't mind admitting that to you. I cover the same ground over and over again, blessing particular people in my life, asking for growth and asking for healing and asking for hope. People have told me when it came to their prayer life, sometimes they seem to have a dry spell. They just can't seem to get their prayer life in order. It's baseball season. Amen? The Hogs are 3-0, and pitchers and catchers have reported to spring training. Sometimes you might think about that slump as that dry spell as a baseball slump. You know, you're up there trying to get that hit, but you keep striking out. But then something happens. Something causes you to spend more time with God, and you offer up that prayer again, and it's not dry anymore. It's a great new season. Or you get that hit, and the slump is over. I knew a pastor who told me that he used to do this. He used to put a chair right over where he prayed, and he would pull up a chair next to it, and he would pray to that chair. Choir, does that make sense? Let me line it out for you. He envisioned Jesus in that chair, and he was having a one-on-one conversation with Jesus. I like that. This morning, we're starting a series of 3 sermons based on Max Lucado's book, one of my favorite authors. The book is called Before Amen. We're going to be looking at the prayer, the idea of prayer, how it has its purposes and it's challenging and sometimes it's frustrating. I hope that you're joining me as we pray for our church daily at 11:02. You're doing that, aren't you? I hope that you are. It's fun to be here at the church at 11:02. And everyone's phone alarms are going off. I've asked you, would you pray every day at 11:02 for the church? But I don't think it's enough just to pray for that moment or two at 11:02. I want you to pray at different times throughout the day as well, maybe in the morning or maybe in the evening. In his book, Max Lucado says, here are some statistics that I'd like to share. He says that more people today, this week, will pray more than they will exercise. Well, that makes sense. They will pray more than they go to work. He writes this, one out of every five non-believers prays. One out of every five non-believers prays. I guess they're wanting to make sure they got all their bases covered. I'm not sure about that. Max says we would all like to pray better, deeper, stronger, with more faith, with more fervor, and with more fire. Amen? But there's some problems with prayer. For instance, when we pray, aren't we telling God something that God already knows? For instance, dear God, please be with Aunt Julie. She has fallen and she's at the hospital in Conway. Amen. You think God's going up in heaven? What? Aunt Julie fell? I had no idea. Let's send an angel down there. When we voice it, maybe out loud or even silently in our hearts, and we don't get the answer that we think that ought to be coming, well, that's frustrating, isn't it? Are y'all out there? Are you with me today? Someone has said there are three answers to prayer. Yes, no, and wait, or not yet. I knew a pastor recently said, there's a fourth answer, you know, and I said, well, what's that? When God says, I have a better plan. I like that. God has a better plan. Well, we aren't the first ones to struggle with prayer. The disciples did. I want to remind you of the context of this passage. After Jesus was praying in a certain place, so what we get in that is that Jesus is praying in a regular place all the time. He prays before every major decision that he makes. If he prays, we ought to be praying too, right? And so after he says amen, one of the disciples says to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray. Now, the John here, of course, is John the Baptizer, Jesus' cousin. And he had followers too. And he evidently had given them a prayer that they could memorize and have on their hearts that whenever they need it, they could say it. And so that is what the disciples are asking for. They're asking for a prayer. They could have asked for anything, right? I mean, they could have asked, Lord, teach us how to perform a miracle. Or they could have said, Lord, teach us how to multiply bread. Or Lord, teach us how to heal a leper or calm a storm. Or any of those great things that Jesus did. But that's not what they asked for. They asked for a particular prayer that they could carry with them. Are y'all with me today? And they gave them a prayer that we've been praying ever since. We call it the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Jesus is the example setter when it comes to prayer, and some of the things he says about prayer are pretty bold. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Really? I think the key word there is abide. Abide. If we abide in Jesus and his words abide in us, the things that we ask for will be different. Amen? Yeah. He also says, ask. It'll be given to you. Seek, you'll find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. I want to say this today. I don't fully understand prayer. Your preacher just said that. I don't fully understand prayer. I don't understand why healing happens in one situation and doesn't in another. I cannot comprehend why some of the bad things happen in this world happen. But what I do understand is this. Prayer is my time with God. Amen? It's my time with God, and prayer is your time with God. Prayer is knowing that whatever I face, I don't face it alone. Prayer is believing that Jesus walks with me, and he talks with me, and if I will shut up for just a moment, I shouldn't have said shut up. If I will be quiet for just a moment, he'll speak to my heart. He'll use others to speak to me too. I believe that God sends his Spirit to comfort me. And I believe that God knows a whole lot better what's best for me than what I know for myself. I think he sees a bigger, longer picture. And if God said, John, would you like to see the bigger picture? I would say, no, it's too much. It's too much. And if you don't get anything out of this today, I want you to get this. I believe that prayers matter. Amen? I believe prayers matter. And I believe that praying matters. The circumstances may not change, but they might. But you will be changed because of your prayers. Amen? Yeah. This morning, I had our ushers hand you a pocket prayer. Did everyone get one? The idea is it'll go in your pocket. And I hope that you will take it home with you and pray it daily. On the back of it, it says, set an alarm and join us for prayer each day at 11:02. I want to offer this prayer up for you. I wanted to say that when Susie and I married 31 years ago, Susie's mom was a senior pastor secretary at Belmont United Methodist Church in Nashville, and she gave Susie a prayer to carry around in her purse on the off chance that on one particular occasion someone might say, hey, you're the preacher's wife, why don't you pray? And so that scared her to death a little bit. And so her mom says, well, tell them to bow their heads, and while they're bowing their heads, pull out this prayer and pray it. I don't think Susie still carries that prayer around with her, but I want you to have a prayer that you can pray when you're asked to pray in public or in private, and it's this prayer. Would you pull it out? I'm gonna read it for us. And it goes like this. Father, you are good. I need help. Heal me and forgive me. They need help. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask you to pray that with me now. Pull that card out. I know the print's small, right? Pray it with me. Father, you are good. I need help. Heal me and forgive me. They need help. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. There are six petitions in that prayer: praising God, asking for help, asking for healing, asking for forgiveness, asking for prayers for others, thanking God for all he has done, and finishing up in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like for you to take this home with you. If you lose it, call me. I'll get you another one, right? But as your day starts, or at 11:02, which is better, think about this prayer. Dial up God early in the morning and say, God, you are good. At some point during the day, you're going to say, I need help. Help me, Jesus. At some point this week, you're going to say, I need healing. Maybe your mind or your body or your spirit, and you're going to say, Lord, heal me. And at some point, you're going to ask God for forgiveness because we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. At some point, you're going to say, they need help. Somebody you know needs help. And then you're going to thank God And we finish these prayers in a good way by saying, in Jesus' name, amen. So I hope that you'll take this home, and I hope that you'll put it in your pocket, and that you'll pray this every day. That's my hope for this series. This is a 3-week series. Next week, our prayer is simply on this petition. I need help. Anybody else? I need help. And that's what we're going to think about next week.